We want to answer your questions about Michigan in our new project, Am I Curious? It's a series of stories looking into all the things you've always wondered about our state. Who created the Michigan left turn? Why does the state regulate marriage? Why were German POW camps located in Michigan in World War II? Mark Brush is heading up the project at Michigan Radio. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Cindy. How you doing?
Why are we doing this?
Well, this is our chance to kind of pull back the curtain on news production and actually go out into the public and find out what the public is curious about and invite them into the process, the editorial process of developing a story, producing a story, and then airing that story as well. So this is our chance to find out what you are curious about, the public, and then take that question that they ask and produce a story around it.
Why is that important to do?
Well, it's important because here in the newsroom, we have our ideas about what is important and what stories our public is are most curious about. But it's really important to invite the public in and kind of get their perspective on the issues. So one neat thing about this project is when somebody asks the question on the website, we can go through how it works in a second. If their question is selected as the one that we're going to investigate, they can come along with us on the story and actually pose questions during an interview. And a lot of times those people will ask questions that we might not think of.
That's very, very interesting. So people can go to michiganradio.org, click on the link that says, what are you curious about, and do what?
Yeah, exactly. So what they do is they go to the website, michiganradio.org, click on what are you curious about, and then that takes you to another website that up in the top bar is a place where you can insert your question. You have 140 characters, so it's like Twitter that way. It makes you focus on what your question is about. Then that question gets entered. You can see it right away. Sometimes people will answer that question in the comment section, and then we as editors will go through those lists of questions, pull three out for a public vote, put those three up for a vote, and the top vote getter is the question we'll investigate for that month.
This is very democratic radio.
It is. That's right.
Mark Brush, thanks so much.
Thank you, Cindy.
So we got our first listener question. Meet Jeff Duncan.
I was very curious about what it was that originally brought people of Arabic or Middle Eastern descent to the state of Michigan.
And Michigan Radio's Sarah Swick went on the search for an answer, and she's here with us now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Cindy. Good to be here.
Good to have you with us. Why did Jeff want to know about Arabs in Michigan?
Well, his curiosity was piqued mainly because of where he lives, which is in Sterling Heights. It's a suburb in Macomb County, a little bit north of Detroit. And as I describe it in the story, for a long time, it was kind of your pretty typical white middle-class Detroit suburb. But that has changed a lot in recent years, especially in the past decade, largely in part to this influx of largely Arab Americans who are mostly Chaldeans, which is a Catholic subgroup within the Iraq's Christian minority. There have been Chaldeans in Metro Detroit for a really long time, but that community, especially in Macomb County, has really grown over the past few years. So Jeff just really wanted to know, you know, he is a firefighter, his wife is a teacher, they see and interact with this community all the time. And he wanted to know what sort of attracted Arab immigrants initially to the state of Michigan.
How big is the Arab population in Michigan? Do we even know?
Well, that is a really good question. It's really difficult to get an accurate count on what that population actually is, namely because the U.S. Census doesn't recognize Arab as a separate racial category. Arabs are characterized as white. And over the years, through different waves of immigration, they've been classified in various ways, from white to Asian to Turkic to all sorts of different categorizations. So it's hard to get a grasp on exactly how many Arab Americans we're talking about in Metro Detroit and in the state of Michigan. That researcher Matt Stifler thinks that they may be undercounted by as much as half, but we're talking about from at least 500,000 to about 1 million people, roughly.
So, Sarah, what did you discover? Why is Michigan, and specifically Southeast Michigan, not only Dearborn, but Southeast Michigan, why has it drawn so many immigrants from the Arab world?
Well, it's interesting because in a lot of ways, it sort of mirrors the same story as so many other immigrant groups that have come to this country. But in other ways, it's a really unique story. It has a lot to do with two things, one of which I really discussed in the story, which is the auto industry, and not just the auto industry, but Henry Ford. There is apparently a legend in the local Yemeni community that Henry Ford once met a Yemeni sailor somewhere at port and told him about these jobs in an auto factory that paid $5 a day. And that sailor passed on the word, and that led to chain migration from Yemen and other parts of the Arab world. I should actually back up a little bit, which is to say that Arabs really started the first wave of Arab immigration to Michigan and to the Midwest was actually in the late 19th century in the 1880s, and that was mostly Lebanese and Syrian Christians who worked largely as peddlers and grocers. But that immigration, Arab immigration, really exploded in the beginning of the 20th century when Arabs, like so many other groups, came to Detroit to work in the auto industry, and they really seemed to follow Henry Ford. His first factory in Highland Park was there was an initial Arab community there around that factory. The very first mosque, purpose-built mosque in the U.S. was in Highland Park, built in 1921. But that community didn't last there very long because Henry Ford switched his operations over to Dearborn, to the Rouge plant predominantly, and the Arab community really sort of followed him over there.
Interesting that you say when they initially came over, it was as grocers and peddlers, because the identity really in Southeast Michigan is the fact that it is people who are Arabic who own the gas stations and the party stores and the small groceries, particularly in Detroit. So that hasn't changed.
Yeah, absolutely. That is something that goes back to the very earliest wave of Arab immigration to Michigan, way back to the tail end of the 19th century. And as the researcher I spoke to said, it's not a stereotype that Arabs own most of the liquor stores and convenience stores and gas stations in Metro Detroit. It's pretty much just an accurate fact. So, yeah, that is a visible legacy that we can see that continues to this day.
Sarah, is there a sense of Arab identity in Michigan? Do Arabs who follow Islam feel connected with, let's say, those Chaldeans, the Catholic Iraqis, or do they keep more separate?
Again, that's an interesting and complicated question. We should be careful to say that there's not just one Arab American community in Southeast Michigan or in Michigan. There are pockets of different Arab American communities, and Dearborn is the largest and most well-known, but Dearborn is actually a very unique community among Arab American communities, both locally and nationwide, because it is not only heavily Muslim, about 90% Muslim, but is mostly Shiite Muslim. And Shiites are a minority in the Arab world or in the Muslim world. So that is a very unique community that's very different from others. Others are predominantly Christian, as we were talking about Iraqi Chaldeans and Lebanese Christians. And so the interesting thing is that the sort of sectarianism that has characterized the Arab world for the past many years is, whether it's Christian versus Muslim or whether it's Shiite versus Sunni, is largely absent in Metro Detroit. That is not so much an issue, but the community does tend to divide along not only ethnic and religious lines, but along class lines. Some of these communities are very professional, wealthy, well-educated. Others are poor and working-class communities. So there does tend to be more almost of a sort of class divide more than anything. There is a sense, I think, of Arab American identity across religious and racial affiliations, especially here in the post 9/11 era. But a lot of these communities, even though they identify as Arab American, don't really actually interact with each other all that much.
Interesting. How well do these Arab immigrants fit when they come into Southeast Michigan as compared to coming into other parts of the country?
Well, they actually do tend to fit in quite well, mostly because, again, there is such a large community already here. There are well-established social service networks that help them adjust and transition successfully to American life. And because people here in Southeast Michigan have been familiar with the Arab American community for so long, it's not really seen as anything particularly new. And the sort of post 9/11 backlash and a lot of the discrimination, while obviously there were issues here like there were anywhere else, they actually weren't as bad here. They weren't as bad, nearly as bad as people think, and probably largely because that community is so well established and well integrated into this area that, you know, people didn't see Arabs as being the other as much as they did maybe in other places.
Michigan Radio's Sarah Swick bringing us the first on the MI Curious Reports. You can go to michiganradio.org and click on the link that says, "What are you curious about?" Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.